Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for It Must Be a Tuesday, baby.
Let's go.
Patrick Harris with you, Joe Fisher to my left. That's the famous Jordan Schultze on the ones and twos. Welcome in. It's baseball. Everything seems super easy right now. Somebody sassed me earlier today, how's the show? And I said the show writes itself.
Gabsida. That's Korean for let's go.
Look at you. You picking up some Korean?
No, I just Googled it.
I was going to say, isn't your girlfriend Japanese?
No, you racist bastard. He is.
She. Did you just say we stepped out of the shower?
He. I said he. She is half Korean, half Filipino.
And gotcha.
Boy, the 23andMe put no debate on that. I think it was her.
Just nailed it down.
I think it was her brother. Got it, and she showed it to me, and it was like, yeah, like 48.9% Korean and then 51.1% Filipino. And
this
it's like, wow. Like me, it's like split up between 20 different kinds of white.
Well, that's what happens when you're white.
Yeah. So she is Korean and Filipino, but no, she does not know any Korean, nor Tagalog. Or any sort of Filipino dialect.
So one of my best friends, she is Vietnamese, and her younger brother is also a really close friend of mine. And it's funny, growing up in high school and even to this day as adults, my bestie, her mom is completely fluent in Viet, and they talk in Viet.
Is that how you say that? Viet? I speak Viet?
You speak Vietnamese. Okay. I'm just shortening it.
All right.
Because I'm white.
Making it easy. You don't have time for big words and full words.
And it's so funny because she will converse with her mom in Viet. And I don't think she is as fluent as her mom by any means, but she can have the conversation with her mom in Vietnamese. Her mom does speak a little bit in English. But her younger brother, it's hilarious because she will like yell at him, especially when we were younger. She would yell at him in Vietnamese, and he was just like, yeah, mom, I know, stop.
That's like, classic.
He can't speak a lick of Vietnamese, but he knows what she's saying when she's yelling at him.
I had a friend.
So it's like, yo, bro, like, how can you not, like, put those words together and be able to form sentences? No, can't speak a lick of Vietnamese, but can get scolded by his mother and know exactly what she's mad. Not like, oh, I stayed out late, so she's probably yelling at me about being late. She was like, no, I told you to clean the dishes and you didn't do that. I told you to put gas in the car. You didn't do that. You are a POS. And he's like, I love you too, mom. And then walks away.
It's like a movie you've seen over and over again, though. You've heard that lecture over and over again.
Yeah.
Dude, I had a buddy in high school where it was same thing. Like, He was Hispanic. I'm pretty sure his family was from Mexico. And same thing. She would just be chewing him out, like going off to him in Spanish. She'd be like, oh my God, mom, stop. Be like, I'm like, dude, what is she saying? I want to know what is getting her to have you sound like this.
And then I would ask my buddy, I was like, yo, what is your mom saying? He's like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, you know what she's saying, dude.
Boy, I wish I had Google Translate back then. Just hold the phone up. I'm like, dude, you're going to take that from her?
Yeah, you just hold the phone and then you get it back and it's like,
oh, dude.
Whoa, dude.
She's roasting your ass.
Whoa, dude.
She just torched you, dude.
Why don't you just put gas in the car, dude? We drove by 3 gas stations on the way home.
So I do not know the Korean. There was a part of me that wanted to try and learn Filipino. And then I gave up on that because I heard it was one of the hardest languages to learn. So I was like, all right, I'm good there. There's like some sort of diagram or something I was reading one day of like, what are the easiest languages to learn as a English speaker?
Oh, I was going to say the answer is English.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know. Have you seen those videos of the guy on Instagram where he's like, all right, this word is ear. All right. Oh, yeah. And if we put a B in front of it,
it's bear.
And he's like, beer? And he's like, no, it's bear because, and then he tries to do pear and same thing. He's like, is it peer? And he's like, no, it's pear.
Jennifer poops at parties and everybody knows this. Why does she not close the door?
The water closet. I got to find that list because I think the hardest language was any sort of Chinese.
Which is funny because there's all these immersion programs. Like I have some friends that had kids long before most of our friends had kids. So some of them are like walking into high school and they've been in Mandarin immersion programs for years and they can basically speak Mandarin.
I was calling out my nephew over the weekend because my sister has him in a... one of the international schools, I think over off of Barber in Southwest. And they're like, no, yeah, he is considered bilingual. You know, he can. And I was like, dude, I bet you if I ask him a long winded question, like, how do you feel about the geopolitical ramifications of Israel Palestine? He'd be like, no bueno.
No bueno.
Like, he would not be able to do.
No bueno.
I was like, I am not buying that my nephew is dual language at this point.
Donde está la biblioteca? Esta es no bueno.
Yeah, well, parents just want to think their kid's the smartest one.
You know, I did have.
Can I use El Baño?
You know, I did have a very interesting moment. The wife and I were in Europe last summer, and we were in Paris. We stopped at this little patisserie for her to get. She wanted to get some dessert.
A what? A patisserie?
A patisserie. Yeah, it's basically a pastry shop.
Oh.
But it was at night because she wanted to get some, like, macarons and get some dessert.
That's what the accent is.
I know, dude. It's like, well, what would you like to order, sir? I would like 2 orders of the carne asada burrito, please.
Give me one of the macaroons.
Well, macaroons and macarons are different, but that's a whole different
And topic. So she goes, yeah. And she had been like teaching me some French. So I learned the phrase parlez-vous anglais, which means do you speak English?
Yes.
Como se dice, you know, it's kind of a situation like that. And she was like, I'm going to run in here and get some stuff because she speaks okay French. She goes, I'm going to run in and get them some stuff. Can you get us a taxi? And I was like, baby, I love you. I sure will hell try. And so I flag a cab down. He rolls down the window and I go, parlez-vous anglais? And he looks at me and he goes, no. And I was like, oh, God. Oh, God.
What did I just say?
And then it clicked and I went, parlez-vous espagnol? And he goes, sí, amigo. And I went, oh, my God. I just started yelling, oh, my God. Necesito mi esposa está en, you know, and I just kind of, because I got a little bit of Spanish in me, and it was the most exciting thing I'd ever been a part of, that I'm talking to this dude who turns out he's from, like, India, but speaks French and Spanish and not English, and I just got lucky that he understood Spanish.
In another country.
Parlez-vous espagnol? And it was like the Michael Jordan shrug. Huh? And he went, sí, amigo.
On the Vancouver 4.
And he got us back.
Had a buddy who spoke Farsi.
Oh, yeah.
Always sounded like he was fighting with family while talking. According to him, it was casual convo.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you hear German, like German is all spoken at the front of your mouth, so
sounds
it comes
angry.
Out very angry, but it's really not. And it's like, I've had a wonderful day. How are you, beautiful?
Yeah, it's like, I couldn't be more happy. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of German lately, going down the World War II rabbit hole on Netflix.
I had a German woman call me today to try to book a reservation at the old pub in October.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, I would like to confirm via email. Can you tell me your email address? And boy, that was a big struggle because I had to spell some things out. And she was like, okay, T as in T-H-R-A. And I was like, okay, that's theater. Yep, you're correct. She was like, I as in you and I. And I was like, yes. And then she goes, L as in Ludwig. And I was like, well, yep.
Yes.
L as in Ludwig. Okay. R as in Rammstein, and I was like,
yes.
It's like, this is insane.
H and then I said, as in, stop there.
And then I said, A as in apple. And she
or
goes,
Adolf. No, she no, not like goes, that at all.
And then she thought my Y was a U, or was a V. She goes, Y as in Victor? And I said, no, Y as in yesterday? And she goes, oh, our language is very different. I was like, yep, I got you, lady. I got you,
good
lady.
For you.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we do have a show for you tonight. This is baseball, like we like to say. This thing writes itself these days. There's a lot to get to. Would you be shocked to hear that we already know what the White Sox plans are next year? Also, what do the Dodgers plans look like this year? With their new stuff going on, plus, can there be an MVP in the National League that is not Shohei Ohtani? There's a lot to get to, but I'd like to start with a little bit of front office drama in the old San Francisco Bay, and we'll get there next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. 718 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. I've got Rob's Royals on the tube right now. They are currently in the top of the 10th, losing 2-1 to Detroit. I'll tell you what, never in my life would I have thought if you were a playoff contender and you looked at your schedule and saw Detroit and went, ah, crap. Never in my life.
My Tigers?
Your Tigers. Never in my life would I have thought that would have been a real deal.
Rawr, make the kitty purr. Let's go.
Like, the Yanks are looking at the Mariners right now going, man, at least it's not the Tigers.
It was pretty nuts, I think, the last week of August to just wake up and see the Mariners and the Tigers with the same exact record. Dude, one day. It's like, what the hell happened?
I'm telling you, man, this Tigers team, they got an ace.
They do.
They got Riley Green. Maybe Torkelson figures it out. And AJ Hinch, despite turning a blind eye to a bunch of cheaters, pretty damn good manager.
And
damn good manager.
That shouldn't be managing.
Probably. You are probably right.
And you determined this.
But that goes the same for Alex Cora, but he's still got a job and blah, blah, blah.
And the Tigers continue to shut the hopes of the Mariners down if they win this game.
I've learned people must really hate Carlos Beltran. Because if Alex Cora and AJ Hinch have jobs and Beltran doesn't, that means I think people might not like Carlos Beltran.
Because he was so good?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But if Cora's still got a job, Hinch has got a job. Beltran had a job for like 5 days.
Yeah, for the Mets, who are really, really good now. Was it the Mets?
I would hold back on the really, really good.
Hey, they beat your Nationals 10-1 today.
That's okay. My Nationals are a 3-year future bet.
You know, okay? I'm going to go with the fact that maybe Carlos Beltran hopped around a little bit more in his career, as opposed to like Alex Cora played for, I think, like 5 teams, but a couple of those years were just at the end of his career, kind of when he was finishing up. He was mostly a Dodger and a Red Sox. Very beloved in both spots, right?
I would love to see how many times Carlos Beltran was traded at the trade deadline. It's probably once, but boy, it feels like 6 or 7.
Well, God, he was a Yankee. He was a Royal. He was an Astro.
He's like, we're going on a run. Go get Beltran.
Seriously. God. I'm missing a team, too.
So we got a lot to get to today, like I was kind of teasing earlier. I mean, this is the best part about the season. You know, here we are on the 17th of September. Playoffs are 2 weeks away. You got fantasy playoffs going on right now, and also races, because I don't think really any award is truly cemented. So you've got guys trying to ball out for a last minute. Like, you see Blake Snell today?
I did not see Blake Snell.
Blake Snell threw 6 innings, 3 hits, 12 strikeouts.
What I saw was my Orioles absolutely throw up all over themselves and play like a bunch of little league bitches out there today.
That's what I'm saying. This is the last few weeks. Like, it's time to figure it out.
Yeah.
Can Class A beat Skubal for the Cy Young? Like, man, we got S going down right now.
Well, no, but Class A's good.
Ouch, that hurt.
Class A's good?
That hurt.
He's been dominant lately. I mean, he's been dominant the last 3 years.
This guy just said the Mets are really, really good, and Class A is just good.
He's all right.
He's all right.
He'll do.
But I want to get to this story that I thought was interesting. Speaking of the Giants and Blake Snell, who are not going to the playoffs, they seem to be kind of living a little bit in no man's land. They don't quite know what to do. They said no to Correa, which turned out to be the smart move. They went after Judge. They went after Otani. And their reward for that was Matt Chapman. Now, came across the wire the other day, Matt Chapman does get an extension. He agreed to a 6-year, $151 million extension for the Giants. But the interesting thing that I find, when the Giants won the World Series in 10, 12, 14, there was something that kind of really looked at that team as very structurally sound. Good fan base, great stadium, good front office. Obviously, they had Bochy. And then the Gabe Kapler stuff didn't go very well, even though I liked him there. And now they've got Bob Melvin, but they're still not really that good. So they worked this deal out. The most interesting thing about this deal is that they wanted Chapman. This is from Andrew Baggerly from The Athletic. This is a quote that Chapman wanted to be there, and the Giants wanted to be there, but Chapman and the GM, Zaidi, is that how you say it? Zaidi?
I believe
I think Zaidi.
So.
Yeah, Zaidi, don't like each other. Quote, sources interviewed for the story were granted anonymity in exchange for their candor about topics that were not authorized to address publicly. They described an ownership group that valued Chapman's shining work ethic as much as his steady contributions on the field, that viewed the 31-year-old as someone who could instill both continuity as well as a culture change, and that was adamant to avoid a repeat of last offseason when a standoff between the Giants and Boris lasted until mid-March. It was an ownership group that viewed re-signing Chapman as a slam dunk and did not trust Zaidi and Boris to finish at the rim. So what they did is they brought in Buster Posey,
who is now part of the ownership group.
And he went to Matt Chapman and said, hey, buddy, this is the deal. We think you should sign it. Being a Giant is amazing. And Chapman signed it. And then Chapman came out and said, there's a bunch of people around the league that are asking me, hey, is this a problem? Because I'd really love to come to San Francisco and play with you. I don't know if that's rhetoric, but you know what I mean. If there is some guys that are high-priced free agents that want to come, do you guys think that this is just a Boris Zaidi thing? Or is Zaidi in a little bit of trouble as the GM of the Giants?
Well, I think this might be a bit of over exaggeration, in the sense of that Zaidi is like a problem. I think that they've been aggressive going after players. I think it's been 6 seasons now that he's been the manager or the GM there, and it will be the third straight season of them missing the playoffs.
And that year they made the playoffs.
They were like,
they scraped in.
Well, they also had the one season with the most wins in MLB.
Yeah.
With like 106 or something like
and
that.
And they lost and in they the lost. First round.
Right. Correct. Baltimore Orioles wouldn't know nothing about that. But I just think that is it's a little bit overblown in that things just probably weren't getting done. And so it's like, hey, let's go to the bullpen. Let's call in the lefty that can throw flames, a.k.a. Buster Posey, Mr. San Francisco, Mr. Giant himself, and let's get this done. Because whatever was happening with Chapman and Boris, and also it's not like Chapman is in that room.
No, it's Boris. And let's be real. I mean, Jordan Montgomery's come out and said Boris cost him. That's why his season sucks, and yeah, he's not got a long-term deal.
I think his season sucks just because he sucks.
He sucks.
Yeah. And he gained like 30 pounds.
I would agree with you on that.
So I
would too if I won a World Series.
So I don't think
chicken wings, yeah, let's roll, baby.
I'm probably with you on that. I'm putting on 20 or 30 pounds. I do that and I don't even win a World Series. Yeah,
exactly.
So I think it's getting a little bit overblown. And then like there's stuff coming out that he was a little bit more involved, and but that could be that this is damage control because of it getting out of hand as far as the headlines and the news. Something tells me that this is just a one-off, and that, you know, if the Giants, if he was really this bad at his job, would they have been able to get Blake Snell?
True. But it took a long time for Blake Snell, and that first half, he wasn't good. If you had Blake Snell and Logan Webb pitching like they're pitching now all year, you might be in a different spot. No. Probably not, because San Diego and Arizona are very, very good. Obviously, the Dodgers. But Blake Snell looked really bad.
And yeah, now for a he while.
Looks, now it's like, can I give Blake Snell the Cy Young in the National League because of how good he's been in the second half?
I don't know. That would
I'm not saying you should, but I like that question can be asked.
Yeah. I just think that also maybe Scott Boras is a pain in the ass to work with.
Yeah. I gotta chime in and completely take the other side of what Joe's saying here. I'm not even going tinfoil hat with this. I do think there are problems in the front office between ownership and Zaidi. I think what final year of his contract, ownership negotiating in any type of way, a deal, yeah, Buster Posey, franchise icon or not, whoever from ownership is negotiating that deal with a player as opposed to the GM, I think that's a problem. And then the way that you're hearing it being refuted is from the, I would say, the agent most known for spin and lies in all of Major League Baseball history, like Scott Boras.
I would love for Boras to not be in this game.
I would agree with you, and it looks like he's kind of starting to be on his way out after the way that all his pitchers and position players had to take one-year deals, especially the likes of Jordan Montgomery, I think of, who's having a terrible season in Arizona. So Boras might be on his way out, but to hear him refuting it, saying that, the involvement of Buster Posey's being overblown, that's what Scott Boras is saying here? Stop it. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see, especially as the Giants move forward. They got money to spend. They want to spend money. They've got, you know, a Patrick Bailey. They've got Logan Webb. They've got guys that are there for a while. It'll be interesting to see how they go forward. And if Zaidi is a problem, then maybe that's why Judge isn't there. Maybe that's why Otani's not there. Maybe that's why Correa's not there, even though I think they dodged a bullet on that. So I think for an organization that I think we all massively respect and look up to and love the stadium and the city and all that jazz, it'll be interesting to see what the fallout is in this, especially as they try to grab new free agents and rebuild for the future. All right, when we come back, I want to get into this. We'll stick in the same division. Don't look now, but I think there might be time for major, major concern for a team that spent $1 billion in the offseason. We'll get to that next, but first, we'll throw it over to Schultzy with sports.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Coming up in the second hour of the show, we'll get into some just good old-fashioned rivalry. Some good old-fashioned smack-talking. And doing stupid things, because stupid things are what these two stupid teams like to do. Plus, we'll have fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, it's like the two worst people you know trying to fight each other and kill each other. And it's like, well,
you're kind of like, well, I mean, I'll watch this.
Take each other out. You know, I'm not going to be exactly upset about it.
Yeah. I mean, 2 years ago, I hated that guy more. But this year, I hate that guy
more. I'm down for a three-team AL East.
Just get rid of them all.
I'm down.
So we'll get to that in the second hour. But I want to stay here in the National League West, as we just got done talking about Chapman and the Giants and what's going on. I mean, the National League West is the most fascinating division right now, in my opinion, because of the Diamondbacks and the Padres just playing out of their minds right now, trying to catch the Dodgers. Do you know, I saw a stat the other day. The Arizona Diamondbacks have the most runs scored in Major League Baseball. Number two is the New York Yankees. And the gap between the Diamondbacks and the Yankees is the same between the gap of the Yankees and the Reds. And the Reds have scored the 14th most runs in baseball.
That sounds about right, because it seems like the Reds, the last like few years, have had a decent offense, and right, their pitching is just trash.
I just didn't realize that the pitching of Arizona was that bad. And then I saw that, and that night I saw him playing the Brewers, and it was in the 11th at 8-8. And I was like, well, there you go. That'll do it for you.
That'll do it.
But I want to get into the Los Angeles Dodgers, who spent $1 billion to put this team together, and Shohei's been incredible, and Mookie's been Mookie since he came back off the IL, and Freddie's been a little all over the place, but you have to think Freddie's going to be solid when the lights turn back on. Yamamoto is back, had a good outing the other day, seems to be kind of on track. But the big news concerning, if I'm a Dodger fan, and what scares the ever-living daylights out of me, is that Tyler Glasnow is done for the year with elbow issues. This is a guy that just came off of Tommy John, who looked unbelievable at the beginning of the season. He was my pick at the beginning of the year to be a Cy Young winner. He looked like he had it. And then things kind of weren't terrible, but fell off a little bit. And then he got shut down, and now he's done. Is this not a major, major red flag for the Dodgers? Or do you think this team has enough built in that they can withstand it?
This is a major red flag. I think it's because of the Dodgers the last few seasons. It seems like they've had multiple arm injuries over the last few years. Like, it seems like they are one of the teams that is that has been most hindered by arm injuries to their pitchers, like Walker Buehler. Now you got Glasnow.
Walker's looked a little rough.
Well, Yoshi's obviously missed some time this year. Dustin May, Gonsolin. I mean, there's like a lot of guys over the last few seasons, and I'm probably missing
Kershaw. Came back middle of the year.
It's concerning.
Had 0.1 innings thrown the other day.
It's a concerning trend for the Dodgers, but this is the biggest blow. Like, you could kind of weather the storm throughout the season. I think even earlier in the year, we were talking about how they were missing some arms, and it was like, they'll be fine. They'll get some of these back. Losing Glasnow for the season? Have fun in the playoffs. Like,
yeah, it's kind of like, oh, he's gone for a few weeks, but he'll be back for game one of the playoffs.
No, you're not going to have him. Like, so who's their one going into the playoffs? And Flaherty?
Yeah.
I mean, Jack Flaherty's been their best pitcher. It's probably Yamamoto. You probably line it up to be Yamamoto.
So you go Yamamoto, Flaherty.
Buehler.
Anyone? Buehler.
Anyone?
I mean, Bobby Miller.
Oof.
Yeah, you might throw a young kid in as the three.
Bobby Miller's been so bad.
Where is he? I don't know.
I invested so much into him. in a fantasy keeper league, and let me tell you how mad I traded Tyler Glasnow for Bobby Miller.
Yeah, giving up Pepiol in that trade with the Rays doesn't really look so good.
Doesn't
now,
really
does
look
it?
So great. So then let me ask this. So then let's flip. Okay, so let's be real here. The Dodgers are in big trouble. Okay, we've gone on extensively all season that the top four batters of the lineup are great, but the rest is very suspect. Maybe you can go 50-50 on Teoscar at five, but the top four is solid and the rest is a little concerning. So do you think you walk into the playoffs going, look, Glasnow's toast, Kershaw's old, Buehler's clearly not there, Miller's a disaster right now. Do you just go in and say, screw it, let's see what we can do? Or do you think no matter what happens, there's massive blowback on the front office for spending $1 billion and on my second favorite manager in baseball named Dave Roberts?
I don't know if there's blowback because it just seems
like... You think they can just look like, bad luck of the draw?
I don't know where the blame needs to fall, but I'm telling you, like, I'll have to pull up that handy dandy Tommy John Google sheet surgery list that I have. This is a trend for the Dodgers for the last few years. Like, they have had multiple arm injuries over the years that they are leading the league in. Last year, 15 pitchers used who have had Tommy John surgery. In 2022, let me click, 14, which was fourth highest in the league. Last year was the most in the league. A couple years ago, 12 guys that had previous arm surgeries, Tommy John surgery, and that was top 10 in the league. So, you know, whether they got those injuries before, during, after, I mean, being a Dodger or before or during their Dodger stint. But the fact that they're always near the top in the league with guys with arm injuries, with former Tommy John surgery, like, something tells me it's like, are you, like, not vetting this as well as you should in your trainer room, as your doctors,
medical staff?
I mean, you've consistently since 2021.
Do they have the Blazers staff when they had Odin and Roy?
Since the last four seasons, you have had multiple dudes on your team that have had arm injuries, and a lot of them. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's a matter of where the blame needs to be placed on management and how you are managing these arms. If there is so much pressure on this team to win a legitimate World Series, that
shots fired.
They are trying to field the best team possible and push some of these guys to pitch when they shouldn't be. Now, Glasnow is different. He was fine, right?
Like, he seemed to be fine. He had the full year off. He even pitched a little bit at the end of the season for the Rays before he was traded. Kind of shake them cobwebs off.
And he's been great this year. So that's where I wonder, you know, is it something in that franchise's training room where it's like they're just not doing as good of a job?
If I'm spending $1 billion on players, I would think I would probably want to spend $1 billion on that training room.
Yeah. But I know we got to go. You know what this sets up for. Shohei pitching in October, baby.
I'll tell you what, if Shohei comes out of the bullpen, it's going to be potentially the biggest must-watch baseball moment I've seen maybe in my entire life.
And the crowd goes berserk. Yeah.
What a tease from Dave Roberts.
Hey, I brought this up.
And that's the story of Mike Matheny and the bird poop.
I brought this up about a month ago when you were gone and when Shohei was starting to pitch again.
Yeah, yeah, he was like doing bullpen sessions.
And I was like, dude, if we get him pitching in October, this is going to be the greatest season of all time.
And I shut you down. I totally was like, no freaking way that's going to happen.
I'm
that's
like,
stupid.
Dude, please, for the love of God, make this happen.
But maybe his elbow is robot now.
And quite frankly, with what I just said about everything with the Dodgers in their arms, maybe don't have him throw.
Well, I would guess they did not, they being Shohei and his representation, did not release the kind of surgery that he got. It's either Tommy John or that newer age stabilization surgery on his elbow. They just said he had surgery. So
did he go to Germany and go to Kobe's doctors and just, you know, say what's up to a few
things?
Go
see Peyton Manning's neck surgery doctors.
Yeah, they're not stem cells, okay?
Platelet rich plasma stem cell infused.
These aren't
not
children injected into my veins. God. Dead children. Probably, yeah. Immigrants, if you catch my drift.
But yeah, he probably got the stabilization surgery, which does have a quicker... I think it's got like a 12 to 14th month recovery as opposed to like a 16 to 18th month for Tommy John. So
It'll be interesting. I We'll get out on this real quick. Like, I find the Dodgers going into the postseason absolutely fascinating because I like have no idea what to expect. Are they the most fascinating team going into the playoffs?
They're very intriguing because
What the hell's going to happen?
Over the last few weeks, I have been holding pretty firm where I'm like, I think they're going to win it. I think that their offensive stars are going to rally this team. But how many times have we seen a great offense get to the playoffs and it's like, oh, their 1-4 hitters went 2-27. And
Paging the Phillies last year, Paging yes, the Phillies.
Like it happens. Yeah. So I am just banking on the combination of Betts, Freeman, and Shohei to just do ungodly things in the postseason and take them to the promised land. But losing Bueller is like, or excuse me, losing Glasnow is just like total wind out of the sails moment. Like, F, what are we going to do?
Yeah. It could be worse, though. You could be a team that has decided next year, we're going to be worse than we are this year. And we might be the worst of all time this year. We'll get to that next. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we'll get into Fair or Foul, which I am always a big fan of. Plus, I've realized that it's been 50 minutes of this show, and I've yet to say something, so we'll get that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour.
You holding up okay?
I'm holding up okay. Yeah,
Prairie dogging it?
Not anymore.
Hey-o.
Now it's just a little turtle poking out.
Oh, good gosh.
CBS Sports RJ Anderson, it came out and wrote an article about a conversation that Chris Getz, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox, said about next year's season. He said, quote, "We're not going to be working heavy in free agency. We've got guys on the field right now who need to improve their game. A lot of young players who just need to make adjustments to be more productive. Now, if you had lost 115 games with 2 weeks to go and your GM said, spending money? Nah, we ain't doing that. We think our players need to be better." How would that resonate for you, Joseph Fisher III?
Kill me now.
Absolute kill me.
Dude.
Like, I once left my love and I had to come crawling back. And there, here I am as a proud Cleveland Indian fan still to this day. I didn't leave for those reasons. I left for lesser reasons. How on earth can you be a White Sox fan?
I don't know. They kind of got cool City Connect jerseys.
Won a World Series.
Maybe they're getting the kids that way.
Won a World Series 20 years ago.
Hey, at least they won one.
The second worst World Series I've seen of my lifetime.
Very boring.
At least in the 90s, those Yankees teams were destroying people, and it was kind of fun. You know, it's like if Mahomes wins the Super Bowl by 30, you're like, but yeah, did you see that behind-the-back pass he threw? Like, that was cool.
I'm trying to find this article, something that I saw
like
earlier today.
White Sox Astros World Series or Patriots Rams Super Bowl. Like, what do you want to watch?
Oh, just inject your main dye right into my veins.
I'd rather watch that. At least Clemens and Pettit were on the losing team.
Yeah, they had some names. Like they Frank Thomas, was on the White Sox at the time still.
But good God, Brady Goff in the Super Bowl, like, blow my brains out.
I almost made $3,000 in that first quarter. If they would have totally gone scoreless.
Oh, from squares?
Yeah. $3,000 would have been coming to me. So screw that field goal or touchdown at the end. It was a field goal at the end of that first
squares
quarter.
Squares is how I gamble. I love random. Yeah. Random gambling is the best game.
Agreed. I love the lottery tickets.
Very weird that you said Brady Goff in the Super Bowl because I went to high school with a guy named Brady Goff. And so I was like,
stud.
I'm like, you're like, what? That guy was in the Super Bowl?
What the hell? News to me. God, I could have
sworn. That guy's favorite TV show is Battlestar Galactica. Why is he on the Rams?
I could have sworn that I saw the White Sox.
Hey, Katie Sackhoff from Portland, too, right?
You like that BSG reference?
I
just started season 3. I'm rewatching.
Damn it. I could have sworn that the White Sox just hired someone to their front office that has zero baseball experience.
Kenny Williams? See what I did there?
He's on one. He's on a roll right now. No, I gotta find it. Damn it! This is gonna kill me. I could have sworn I just saw something.
What is he like, some finance bro?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it would not shock me. But yeah, the White Sox, isn't it funny where it's like you fielded a team so bad and you were so bad that you lost so much money that you can't make your team better?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
you're so
is
bad.
A bunch of, which is a bunch of bull crap.
Right.
But still, it is funny.
They're
it's
all
like,
billion-dollar franchises.
It's like, wow, Chicago. what a concept. Like, when you don't have a good product, people don't buy the product anymore, and you lose money, and you don't make as much money as before. Maybe you should either cut back on expenses or invest in your product more. I don't know.
I mean, other than Andrew Benintendi, can you name a player on the White Sox right now? Because I can't.
Well, Luis Robert Jr. Garrett Crochet.
Well,
damn it.
Is anybody really looking at...
Is Lance Lynn a White Sox?
Is he still? No, he can't be.
Just throwing that out there.
No, I felt like he was a deadline deal.
According to... speaking of Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert Jr., Getz told MLB.com earlier this year, what Garrett has done, it's a bold statement that he's become this, what he's become this year. And arms like that don't just come around. The interest, perhaps, could be even stronger, being that it's the offseason and the urgency can change for a handful of clubs. So now you're telling me Crochet's on the market.
You know what, Getz?
Like you got him. Like, just take him from us.
Guy hired Pedro Grifol. I don't trust anything he says.
I do got Grady's ladies running the show, though.
Oh, I do love that.
I love me some Grady Sizemore.
His ejection was actually pretty sexy.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Like the gum throw.
Yeah.
Like the swearing. I'm just like.
He's got those really bright lips, too. So it's like, oh, I bet he's a good kisser.
I'm sure he's, when he's 60, he's going to look like he's 40, and he's still going to be pulling.
A line from Bob Uecker, or Harry Doyle, as we should say. Grady Sizemore has a shimmy that makes the women in Cleveland go crazy. That was my fantasy baseball team for years, Grady's ladies.
On a tangent to Cleveland, did you
my
see...
My tangent or your tangent?
My tangent.
Okay, your new one.
Yes. Did you hear the home run call for Kyle Manzardo the other day?
From the all-time great Tom Hamilton?
Yes. It was fantastic.
I did. It's almost as good as... But there's something about corner of Carnegie and Ontario. It's a great day for Cleveland baseball, and that's brought to you by some old people that own a furniture shop two blocks down the road. Yeah, dude.
Is that the actual read?
No. But it is the corner. But it is the corner of Carnegie and
Ontario.
Brought to
you by two old people that own a furniture
they
store.
He always says, and tonight's seventh inning stretch is brought to you by Wilson Furniture. They've been around since 1956.
Tom Peterson and Glorious too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that.
Yeah, White
Sox. The Yankees
Sox.
Are like brought to you by Saks Fifth Avenue and brought to you by Gloria Tom. Yeah, you know, like it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, did you see the Jeff Passan article about how they're trying to get through the season?
Mm-mm.
With Chicago?
Yes. So Jeff Passan put out an article today trying to laugh it off on the South Side.
Oh, God.
He discusses how the White Sox are using humor to try not let their potential record-setting losing season wear on them. You have to have a sense of humor, Davis Martin said. You walk that fine line of being on the edge of losing your mind, always on the razor's edge. We're just watching it all, and we're like, oh, my gosh, this happens and this happens. Truly, it's so many things.
Well, when you got guys falling asleep in the clubhouse, I guess it's kind of a funny organization. Right?
Are we talking about the White Sox here, or is this a continuation of the final half hour of primetime today in the club about people swimming ashore that should be left for dead?
Over two games with the team last week, the clubhouse of perhaps the losingest team ever was not dour or depressed, not like one might expect from a group transcending baseball notoriety and permeating the grander sporting consciousness. White Sox players were shockingly well-adjusted, angry at the results, but not brooding, embarrassed by the losses, but refusing to roll over, handling their misfortune in a reasonable, healthy, mature fashion.
They just lost 16 in a row.
And not like losers who could cast blame and fight one another, as have past White Sox teams.
While I was driving around this Pacific Northwest, chasing this stupid little band that I love to chase, future Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees in October, just saying, I caught Major League Baseball Network on my Sirius XM, and they were interviewing Tommy Pham of the Kansas City Royals. And they're talking to him about, you know, they're asking about Bobby Witt and, you know, what's it like playing on a contender? And they were like, you know, how was the change from being on a struggling team to a team in contention? And Tommy Pham did everything in his power to not say, bleep the White Sox. And I don't love Tommy Pham.
Hey, we ain't taking that.
Yeah, we ain't taking that. But he did everything in his power to not say, bleep those guys.
Well, can you blame him? It's unbelievable. But Tommy Pham might be the good guy in this situation.
Might be the good guy.
Yeah.
Tim Anderson's out of the league. And he's like, well, at least I ain't playing for the White Sox.
Yeah, it's unreal. I mean, they might say, well, hey, they won like three in a row.
They won three in a row. So, did they play today? Are they playing the Angels?
That's
Reed Detmers got called out by his manager last night because they got smoked by the White Sox. White Sox are losing 3-0 right now to the Angels.
Oh, come on. Well, at least they're having a good time.
At least they're having a good time with their friends.
I swear to God, I got to find this damn article, man. I swear they hired some rando that has never worked in it. Maybe it was an Onion article. That would actually
that would be amazing.
That would make
the White
Sox
are so bad that Onion articles look like real articles.
They're starting to become true. Yes, exactly. You gotta have a sense of humor about it.
All right, we got a loaded second hour coming up. We got two rivalry teams that are yelling at each other, and boy, it's fun to kind of just watch with some popcorn. And is there anybody in the National League that can win the MVP that's not named Shohei Ohtani? I might be able to have somebody for you that. But also, fair or foul. Loaded second hour, don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, Portland sports leader. Today, the fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now, you kiss and Chase Utley, and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good.
I'm gonna read it.
Dear Chase, they're stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome in the second hour of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You can download that, The Fan Podcast, at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Want to give a quick shout out. I got to see our good friend Voldemort the other day. as him and his beautiful bride had a fun ceremony that we were there, and he sends all his love to all of you. We hate him, but he loves you.
So
keep that in mind. Wow.
Isn't that Voldemort?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Come on.
I wasn't sure where you were going.
You saw my face. You're like, what the hell is wrong
with
you?
I was really concerned.
Are you okay?
So shout out from Voldemort. I believe he's at the Yankee game tonight and tomorrow. I believe tomorrow he gets to meet Aaron Judge and Juan Soto.
You're kidding. That's
awesome. I am not. That is what the Gare Bear, Gary Lynch, told me.
Slipping people some 20s over there?
Slipping some 20s, some C notes maybe. They are former season ticket holders. So kudos to Voldemort. Get up there and the good old Mike Lynch, which wishes all of you a good time. Now, before we get into a little bit of baseball, speaking of Mike's Yankees, I'm going to completely derail this and go my way. How about them Cougs? Can I get a quick shout out?
Dear Lord.
Go Cougs. Am I right?
Yes, you're right.
Jed Fish, you suck.
Yeah, he actually does suck.
Eric Dickard, let's go. John Mateer, Heisman, let's rumble.
All right, calm down. But I will say, John Mateer, it's ugly, but I love the way he throws a football.
Right, right. It's so fun.
It's such a gunslinger, just like, gah,
and
take
he's,
that.
He's
gah.
Big. Like, he's a big guy.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. When you get a weekend with a Ducks win over the Beavers and a Cougs win over the Huskies, that's a good weekend.
I had to work, so I've got the game on, but I got Oregon State, Oregon on every TV. I got Wazoo. I got the Apple Cup on this small TV in the corner, of course, because it's on Peacock. So I got to stream it in this tiny TV in the bar. And I got a bunch of regulars that are like, it's getting close to the end. And they're like, you going to cook this? And I was like, you shut your damn mouth. And then Mateer threw that pick, and I was like, oh, my God, I've seen this movie 1,000 times.
Yeah, I mean.
1,000 times.
To your dismay, Washington State definitely did everything they could to give that game up.
They did try.
They
but
definitely
then,
tried.
But then the Huskies said, hey, hold my beer.
Let's
we
run
got a better
a,
idea.
Let's run a speed option to the short side of the field. I was talking to my buddy.
Like, I feel like, Joe, you and I could have mushed that together.
Dude, I was saying to my buddy earlier that I was like, you know when you play, like, Madden and you're doing some, like, audibles options?
Sure.
And you're on one of the hash marks.
Pretend I know. I've never played, but
you're on one of the hash marks, and you accidentally hit the wrong audible, and you realize you are now running towards
an
the short side.
Sweep to the short,
short side.
Side.
You're just like, oh, damn it, no! You're like, well, that's a wasted play.
Before you've even hiked the ball, you're
yes.
like, damn it.
You're like, no S. Like, yeah, that is. You know that feeling well, just as a non-coach, like,
yeah.
just plain video game football. Like, don't do that. Don't run an option. Don't run a pitch play, anything like that to the short side of the field. And that's what they came up with. But hey, they won on a reverse last year on fourth down. So this could have worked, according to Jed Fish.
I feel like we should be 2-0 in the last 2 years.
You just got to execute. You just got to execute better, okay?
Focus. You know, we got to win it.
Yeah, if the play would have been executed, it would have been successful. So, I don't know how you argue with that.
If I had wheels, I'd be a bike.
I will. Well done. Oh, well done. Well
do you think that call single-handedly takes him out of consideration for like all the big jobs that he would have jumped from Washington to?
I mean, no.
No, because he's going to have to. even if Washington.
It's a dumb call, but.
Yeah, even if Washington snuck out 8 wins this year, Jed Fish is going to be there for at least 2-3 years before he could potentially get a better gig.
And again, it's not his fault. They just didn't execute.
And the O coordinator called the play.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Kim Un.
Pete Carroll's son called that play.
I mean, Kim Un.
Kim Un. Like, what are we even talking about? Two things I will say real quick.
Well, good for you. Whatever.
Two things I'll say real quick, and then we'll get out of here. I think the Huskies were not focused, since hence all the disciplinary issues with the penalties and false starts that I saw, mostly because they were looking ahead. They overlooked us. They got a big road game next week. Big road game in Jersey against Rutgers.
Oh, boy.
I think they were overlooking Wazoo because they were worried about the travel and the hype. Like, game day might go to UW Rutgers.
No, it won't.
Of course it won't. They're losers, and they'll always be losers. And that's why they're the Huskies. And number two, I was listening to Primetime earlier today, and Jason really touched on it. Like, talking about like Beaver fans that don't want the Civil War. They're like, screw those guys. I don't want to play. Plus, we just get blown out anyway. Look, my Cougs get blown out all the time by the Huskies, all right? And I'll tell you what, I want to play them every single year. Because you know why? I don't care if this is a second win in 10 years. Damn, it feels good to be a Coug.
I will say.
I'll take it.
I feel like.
2-8, I'll take it.
Yeah, I feel like the mentality of the Cougs in that rivalry, the fan base, much different than the Beavers. And quite frankly, Beaver fans kind of being little bitches about the situation.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And they're my brethren.
We want to play them.
They're my people. Like they're with. I'm with them. Like, Beave Nation out there, I'm with you. Wazoo's got your back.
Couldn't even fill your own damn stadium after all the S talking this last
I'm thinking
week.
About going down to Corvallis for the game. All right? Like, Beavs, I got your back, and I can't wait to high-five and shake hands and give hugs to a bunch of Beav fans and say, we're going to rebuild this, and we're going to figure this out.
As you beat them.
But I will back Joe on this. I think they're being a bunch of bitches. I want to play UW every single year. I don't care if we lose for a decade. If we win the next game, I'm in. I hate those losers.
Well, and also, there was definitely a lot going out from the Beaver fan base on the social meds over the last few days leading up to the game, and it's funny how quickly that tune changes.
No, they literally couldn't even. The upper deck was still open, like very, very open at Reser Stadium.
Where they play the game, Oakland?
Come on. And then everybody's silent on social media afterwards.
Yep.
It's almost as bad as that Florida State fan that said that he would eat dog ass and then just deleted his social media account.
I never thought I would say this, but shout out Brandon Sprague for being a rational Oregon State Beaver fan.
It's true.
Alumni, I should say. No fans in the house. Alumni only.
But he's just a hater.
Come on, guys.
He's a bino. Beaver in disguise or whatever the hell it is.
Beaver in disguise.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Beaver in name only. That's what it is.
All right. Enough about that. Let's get back to some baseball. I'm going to save this. I've been saving this for weeks. And I'm going to save it for another week. So we'll get back to that next week. When we come back, rivals that we love to see fight each other because nobody likes either of you. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Schultzy on the ones and twos. 1080 The Fan. I'd like to dedicate this song to Sean Puffy Combs, wherever he might be. Oh, I know where he is. In jail with no bail.
Yeah, he can be there for a long time.
Yeah, goodbye, amigo.
Possibly.
Goodbye.
What happened to him?
Do you know that he's on Epstein watch right now?
Yes, I did hear that.
Sean Combs.
Sean Combs.
P. Diddy.
Do you know what happened to him? Are you being serious? Or are you joking around?
What happened?
He's been thrown into...
Joe's messing.
You've got to be.
You're holding it. Good poker face, but
yeah, that is
see
a good poker face.
I've been with you for a while.
Diddy.
Diddy
wouldn't do that.
Diddy is a diddler.
Yes, he did. At least allegedly, according to the many recordings that have been circulating the internet.
You guys are funny. Yeah, you almost got me.
Almost got you, huh?
Yeah, you guys are funny.
Yeah.
So I think it's fun that now every time I hear a Tupac, I'm like, man, I like that guy. And also, sucks to be Diddy.
Well, it does, but it's his own damn fault.
Yeah. No bail. That's got to be tough, man.
I think he's going to like it in jail.
What do you think's worse, no bail or the back door entrance?
Do they have baby oil in jail?
Because he's going to get the back door entrance.
I think he's totally fine with that, according to these alleged recordings and reports by other people that have been associated with him, allegedly, of course.
See, I couldn't read that much. I'm proud of you, Schultzy. That's hard-hitting producing right there.
The CD stuff is kind of where I lean,
can't do the CD.
Yeah, I opened that up immediately. I'm like, I need to see this.
Yeah, I can't do the CD. Like, when Trump talks about the little girls that have been with him, I'm like, oh, I can't do that.
Oh, well, I turned that right off. Yeah, that's like, I can't, no.
The Yankees and Red Sox had a series over the weekend, and let me tell you, one of these teams has something to play for, the other team sucks. But it was really, there was some interesting stuff that I thought was going down, and from like a mental kind of situation. Gerrit Cole, who I was relying on heavily in my fantasy baseball playoffs, did not have a good outing. He intentionally walked Rafael Devers to load the bases and then instantly paid for it. And then Devers came up back around again and made him pay for it again. I thought that was the most weird thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. And the counter from the Red Sox was to throw at Aaron Judge. Quote from Alex Cora, It was closed yesterday around the sixth inning. We had our chance. It didn't happen. Basically talking about how his pitcher threw behind Judge while trying to hit him.
You can't say that.
You can't say that, man.
Y'all don't say that.
I mean, I wish that I'd go beyond that and wish that they just wouldn't throw at each other. I do feel like that is a form of assault. It is the way traditionally that the game of baseball has. Seriously,
is this hockey bro over here.
That's
weapon. Assault.
It is.
Nah,
sorry,
we ain't taking that.
We ain't taking that. But that's how the game of baseball has policed itself for at least 100 years. So it's not going away.
I would die if a player ever tried to press charges on a pitcher.
For hitting him,
yeah, for hitting
the baseball.
Him.
Well, but no, guys, hear me out here. Like Jose Offerman, very, very.
Cue bad taken 3-2.
No, very well known MLB player. I think it was in the Mexican League. Hit an umpire with a bat. Right, took a bat during a fight and swung either an opposing player or an umpire. So I don't understand why that there were charges filed against him is assault, but throwing a baseball at a player in the game is not. Like
didn't Happy Gilmore once take his skate off and cut a man in the neck?
First person to ever do that. He has a record. Dude, I remember in high school, our coaches would throw baseballs at us to like
toughen you up,
to teach us how to take a hit by pitch, like lean into it.
It's one of my favorite scenes from Major League 2. Roger Dorn is the owner and he decides to suit up for a game and he has to go in and take a pitch. And he, Corbin Burnson turns and takes a pitch and he goes, oh, God.
Yeah, it was not a fun drill.
I mean, taking a pitch is not cool at all. It's not cool.
It hurts.
Like, that hurts. No. That hurts a lot.
And there's a difference between
Someone got hit the other day that was ready to fight.
And Victor Robles actually got hit today and then went and hugged the pitcher. I think that's the first time I've ever seen a pitcher run or a catcher or a player run out, charge the mound just to hug a pitcher.
Did he hug Luis Gil? Because
he did.
He was like, wow, this is the worst pitch I've ever seen you throw. Other than that, I strike out 3 times a game.
Well, he got hit on the hand and was like shaking his hand and actually got taken out of the game, but was totally fine. Hugged Luis Gil. So. Mm.
Did you see the Padres?
Wait, does that mean Luis Gil is pitching well? I got him on a first.
Oh, they're down 7-1 right now. Yes, he's pitching fantastically.
Ooh, I'm trying to remember who it was for the Padres the other day that he was on second. And, I'm trying to remember the player that got hit. And
I'm thinking of the Castellanos thing when Bryce was on second. And Castellanos got hit and Bryce ran. He was like, he had one thing to say.
Nah, we ain't taking that.
Oh, yeah, because the guy had been getting lit up all day.
Yeah.
The young pitcher who had a 0.7 USATA, I think.
Yeah, for the Rays.
Yeah, 0.7 ERA, basically perfect year, got blown up, so he threw at Castellanos, and Bryce is like, hey, we don't do that, because you
don't. I
don't
know if I'll be putting on this headset again.
Why is it always Castellanos?
Not surprised. Not surprised. Castellanos
is
kind of a red ass.
Castellanos?
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
The other day, though, it's escaping me what player it was, but someone tried to pick off on the Padres and threw it back to second, and it just hit the dude in the middle of the back for the Padres. Even just like, ah!
The guy's like, ah!
Dude, it was hilarious. Bitch move by Cora.
Total.
Yeah.
Total.
And
I don't understand how.
Also, kind of bitch move by the Yankees and Gerrit Cole. And
I agree. I actually think.
Like I said,
secretly, the bigger bitch move is Cole not throwing to Devers.
Oh, 100%.
That's the bigger bitch move.
I agree
now,
with you
now,
on
now,
that.
Now, Cora is a little bitch. Like, man, why are you being a little bitch? You know, that's like a basketball. You know, you guys rip on me 13 or 14 more times and I'm out of here. Like, that's the Alex Cora. But Cole, like, bro, you're Gerrit Cole. You make $33 million a year. You pitch for the Yankees. You have Cy Youngs and World Series. Why aren't you throwing to Devers?
Because Devers has like a 2.4 OPS against him or something ridiculous.
He owns him.
That's
made up. Dude, I swear to God, earlier this year.
You can't have a 2.4. I think you can have over 2.
I swear to God. I swear to
OPS
God.
OPS is slugging it on base. It's 100 and 100.
He had something ridiculous.
No, it's Herculean. It's like Edgar versus Mariano career numbers.
It's like fake numbers. That's how bad it is.
No, remember when Devers, earlier in the year when they were playing, and he had like an insane series against them?
I do not remember the Red Sox having a good game in the middle of May.
Joe, you were close. It's a 1.4 OPS.
There you go.
I mean, that's
still
basically 2.4.
That's still amazing.
But that is like earlier in the year when they played, and Devers had an insane series against them, hit a home run off Cole. It was like his OPS at that point was like 2.1.
Cole is just one of those starting pitchers that is, I mean, they're all competitors, obviously, but there's some guys that are like insane competitors, all right? Cole is one of them. He's a Scherzer, you know, he's a Verlander, he's a Nolan Ryan. He's a guy, you know, he doesn't go out there and pitch methodically like Maddox does. You know, Pedro was cool and calm, and he just had gas. That's how he could beat you. He beat you in a calm way. But Jonathan Papelbon, Max Scherzer, and Gerrit Cole, they throw because they hate you. And for him to say, I'm not going to throw against Devers, I did not have that on my bingo card at all.
Yeah, I mean,
It goes to say, where's his confidence right now? Like, is he not trust his stuff right now?
I would say
it's a bad time not to trust your stuff.
I think it's just a Devers thing. Like, Devers owns him. And I think that hitting him and then just saying, like, intentional walk, I'm not even going to pitch to you, is that dude is in his head at this point.
I mean, is it more a Gerrit Cole thing, or is it like a Yankees thing where Aaron Boone's telling him, or the catcher's telling him, hey, let's just skip this one? Because they've got all their splits beforehand. They know that Devers is going to own him. So in that situation, you got 15 games or less left to go. You're fighting for the AL East title. It better safe than sorry, I guess, in that situation. I don't know.
Yeah, I just think that Cole knows that Devers has his number. This was back in July when Devers had an insane series against the Yankees and also hit around Cole as well. So I think that this is all just a culmination of, this is a dude I cannot pitch around. So I'm going to make sure I just don't even give him a chance.
But then he got lit by the next guy.
Oh, well, that's what you get. That's what you get for that one.
Talk S, get...
get lit?
Yeah. I really wish we could say the S word on the air.
Oh, me too, man. There's
it's
a
ridiculous
lot of...
that we just said bitch like 30 times, but I can't say the S word.
You had about 80% of them, but...
Well, but I mean, I still got away with it.
Yeah, well, until that phone rings.
You know, like I can say that guy's an ass, as long as I just don't make it a human body part. But
hey, take it up with George Carlin, okay?
Hero. Absolute legend.
Indeed. No, trust me, there's a lot of words I wish I could say on air, but I got to have constraint.
All right. When we come back, we'll get into everybody's favorite, fair or foul. I'm excited for this week, but before we do that, we'll toss it over, excuse me, to that wonderful human being over there, Schulte.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Ronnie Randall gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's everybody's favorite, fair or foul, as we sit here. Shout out to Manny Machado. Just hit a two-run bomb to tie the game against the Astros. And this is actually a fascinating series that I would love to watch. Also, Giancarlo Lynch up in Seattle caught Jason Dominguez's first home run shot to center field.
Wait. Lynch caught what?
No, he didn't catch it.
He like
caught it with his eyeball.
I was just like, that's freaking awesome.
No, trust me, my first thought was the same thing, Schulte. I was like, holy crap.
What if he caught the ball with his eyeballs? Like, Mike's just sitting there, he can't move, and he's like, oh my god, this is coming straight from my eye.
Cyclops glove.
Amazing.
Love it.
All right, this is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without further ado, we'll turn it over to you, my friend, in the white and teal hat. Schulte.
Appreciate you. Oh, Jason Dominguez is going to be good. Kind of sad I sold all of his rookie and first Bowman cards.
I hope he's not good.
Ah, look at the kid. Did you see him
more of
a bat?
Kyle Manzardo kind of guy.
Dude, I love Manzardo, but did you see the age of 16, 17-year-old Jason Dominguez swinging a bat? It's just like hammer hitting the ball. It's crazy.
It's not Bryce Harper.
Raw power. I'm not saying it is. Totally different. You racist. He's not white. That's why you don't like
white,
him, Patrick.
White. I don't like white.
All right.
Wish I had that dropped. I can go find it, but I don't
care. It's okay. All right, guys, try to stump you here, and then we'll get into some more feelings about some of these baseball stories coming up lately.
I have feelings. I eat them.
Ditto. Fair, and I drink them with my beautiful, lovely Dutch brothers. Fair or foul, guys. Victor Robles, who has been absolutely batting out of his booty for the Seattle Mariners, he has been stealing bases. He's been bunting his way on. I mean, it's just been amazing to see such a turnaround for somebody literally jettisoned off a roster earlier this season, now signing a, what, two-year, $9 million extension and just continuing to bat well. So fair or foul, guys. Victor Robles has the highest batting average in MLB since August 17th. Fair or foul, Victor Robles has the highest batting average in all of Major League Baseball since August 17th.
That's 1 month, today. Patrick.
That's one month. 1 month. You know, it's interesting. I think what's really fun about players like Victor Robles, and you're talking about bunting and stealing and defensively and all this stuff, I mean this in the most positive way, but it's kind of like a caged animal in the sense that, like, the Nationals, who loved you, absolutely loved you, you came up as a huge prospect, helped them win a World Series, had to eventually say, I'm sorry, my friend, it is time for you to leave. That you get a little scared, and you get a little bit of like, holy S, what am I going to do to keep my life alive? So now he's doing everything in his power to be a viable major league player. How long will he hold on to that? Nobody knows. We'll see. However, I do not think this is fair. As much as I've been excited to see what Robles has brought to this offense, I can't imagine that the best batter since August 17th is a Seattle Mariner. Although Edgar's done a better job. 30 points raised, I believe.
Yeah, I'm going to have to side with Patrick on this to think that any Mariner, I mean, and if it would be a one Mariner, it would be Victor Robles, but to lead the league in batting average over the last month.
I got a guy named Bobby Witt who's batting like 340, and you don't like have a bad month and still bat 340.
Not buying it, Bob. Foul.
Sorry, guys, you are both wrong.
No!
Victor Robles by a lot, by like an F-ton. Has the best batting average in all of MLB in the last month. 443. Victor Robles has literally been like Herculean. He is leading all batters. 379 is the next closest, and that would be Luis Urias for the San Diego Padres.
Who struck out for the first time in 141 at-bats.
I saw that.
The other day.
It's crazy. His WAR, though, not great this season. His overall production is down. He's just kind of...
What did I do wrong?
Kind of become a little bit of a singles hitter this year, as opposed to like... you see, last couple of seasons, he's had like a 3-4-5 WAR. This year, it's like a 1-point-whatever. Anyways, yeah, Victor Robles, hitting the ball out of the infield by a lot anyways. All right. It's like not out of the park, but he's getting base hits. All right, fair foul number two. We'll do a former Mariner this time, but current Arizona Diamondback, Eugenio Suarez. He has been very, very good in the last 2.5 months of the season.
Well, of course, walk-off yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he did. A resurgence for sure. Was batting under the Mendoza line for, I think, the first month, month and a half. So, guys, fair or foul, Eugenio Suarez leads all of MLB in RBIs the last 30 days.
This one, because I was bamboozled and tricked the last time. Also, I want to know where you're getting that stat, Jordan, that Victor Robles stat.
I got it from Mariners PR.
We got a fact check over here.
Absolutely. No, Twitter, Mariners
Nobody's
PR.
Been hitting better
highest
than
batting
Robles,
average in,
trust me,
in Major League.
Greatest hitter I've ever seen.
Thanks, Don.
My impression is really bad. I'm sorry.
I liked it.
The hands work, though.
No, the only caveat was minimum 50 at-bats. Highest average in MLB since August 2017. Victor Robles is at the top of that. Lawrence Butler, the fifth, with 356. Yandy Diaz at 361. So it's got a full list of guys.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Suck it, Joe.
Believe me now.
Okay. I'm going to go on the other side of this. Oh, yeah. See, it's that 50 at-bat minimum thing. Technically not a qualified player, but I digress. I'm going to say fair that this one is true, that Eugenio is having an insane stretch and leads the MLB in RBIs over the last 30 days, you said?
Yes, sir. The last 30 days.
Yeah, I'm going fair on this one. I'm feeling it.
I will also stick with Joe for fair, but for different reasons, that the Diamondbacks just score runs.
Yes.
As I said earlier in this, like, they have such a monstrous lead in most runs scored that Someone's got to be doing it. I know Corbin Carroll's been hitting a lot better. Ketel Marte seems to be healthy. He went deep last night. I'm perfectly fine with it being... oh God, I feel so stupid. What's the name of the, not the Riz or the Sims guy, but the other dude on Mariners broadcast?
Aaron Goldsmith.
Aaron Goldsmith, thank you. Yeah. As he said once, as I was driving home from Seattle and Suarez hit a home run, hey, yo, Hideo! I'll say fair on this.
No, unfortunately, it is foul. I was trying to stump you guys there. It's close, though. He is second to the leader of Manny Machado, who actually increased his lead with two RBIs today with that two-run jack to tie it against Houston. He actually, Manny Machado, leads all MLB in RBIs the last 30 days with 29. Eugenio second with 26. Brent Rooker actually tied with Eugenio Suarez for second place as well with 26.
Former Dodger Manny Machado.
Yeah, Manny's killing it. Probably going to be the Padres like leader in everything by the time he's all done. Whatever. Sorry, Joe. What'd you get for him in that trade?
I don't even know at this point.
I'm genuinely asking. I'm not trying to like twist the knife.
The dude that we got that was supposed to be good wasn't, and I forgot his name already. He sucks.
I didn't think it'd trigger you that bad.
One of the more frustrating moves that the Orioles have made over the last few
former
years.
Former Dodgers shortstop, Manny Machado.
Oh, my God. Actually, that is true. Yes, he will. That makes it even worse for the Dodgers.
Actually,
if you were a Nationals fan, I would say former Dodgers shortstop, Trey Turner.
Ooh.
I would do the same to troll.
I will recant my statement. We did get Dean Kremer out of the deal.
Hey, not bad.
Okay.
Little pickup.
But the star of that trade... Star, Yusniel Diaz.
Who? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That was supposed to be the top trade part.
At least Alex Verdugo is still playing.
God, that ugly MF-er.
Yeah, the Yankees should let him grow the beard back.
No kidding. All right, guys. Fair foul number 3. Shohei Ohtani hit his 48th home run of the season today. He is so close to getting that 50-50 mark.
Let's go!
Will become the first player ever to hit the 50 home run, 50 stolen base mark in a single season.
I feel like a guy with a stick that's like, come on, do something.
Do it! I'll be there next Thursday. I'm hoping that he waits until
then. I hope
then.
You get it.
Thanks, bro. Hopefully I can see that. But guys, fair or foul, we will see another 50-50 season in the next 3 years. Fair or foul? I mean, there's so many names out there. Acuna is a possibility. Julio Rodriguez, Bobby Witt Jr. You're thinking of like young guys that have come up and kind of changed the way the game is
Jackson
played.
Jackson Merrill.
Exactly. Jackson Merrill.
Jackson Churio.
Jackson Holiday.
Jackson Holiday.
Yeah, all the Jacksons. I do believe that we're going to see one, but in the next 3 seasons, guys, fair or foul?
I will go first, and I will say fair because it will happen next year. By Shohei Ohtani.
Again.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, yeah, we very well could see it again in the next 3 years by the same dude.
Maybe 3 times.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, yeah.
The only dude I would say is maybe Acuna if he has working knees, but that's TBD right
now. If Shohei did that while he was pitching, oh my God.
I would also say if he becomes a little bit more disciplined of a hitter, possibly Eli De La Cruz, but...
I thought you were going to say possibly Shohei Ohtani. I mean, his batting average could be better. He
There's
could
this
be a little
pitcher
more
for the Dodgers. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Walker Buehler Ohtani.
So I would say maybe him. But again, he's got to be a little bit more disciplined at the dish.
Why do you keep ragging on Shohei? He's a solid hitter.
Oh my God. No. Eli De La Cruz, damn it. So I would say, yeah, Acuna, obviously. I like maybe the chances of De La Cruz, but outside of, I mean, I'm really trying to think of genuine bag snatchers.
Yeah, I like the idea of Acuna. It's all about the power, though. I mean, we've seen with the new size of bases and managers being aggressive, like, Acuna had 70-plus stolen bases last year. Ellie's got 50 right now.
I mean, Cal Raleigh even has 6.
Yeah, it's a lot more possible now. But hitting 50 home runs is a lot. We got one guy in the league right now. One guy. And it's Aaron Judge, who is a monster. And the other dude might be Shohei. So to ask for more, I think is a really tall order.
All right, guys, final fair or foul of the evening. It involves the Minnesota Twins. Still holding on to that AL wildcard lead. They did win tonight, beating the Guardians 4-1. They lead the Tigers by a game and a, just a game. And the Mariners at this point by 2 games, but it is going to be 3 here after this loss to the Yankees. 7-1 right now for the Mariners. Top 6, and the bases are jacked.
We ain't taking that.
The Mariners are taking that. It sucks. Goodbye. That's all, folks. Anyways, the Minnesota Twins have not been playing well as of late. In their last 21 games, that was only their 8th win. 7-13 coming into tonight's matchup with the Guardians. Fair or foul, y'all, the Twins going to screw it all up and play themselves out of a wild card spot.
Yes, I say fair, because my Tigers are lurking in the bushes, and they're lurking in the city somewhere in maybe Bangladesh or India, and ready to pounce on the Twins.
There are tigers in Africa too.
Well, tigers are more prominent.
I was just
in
joking. Those are lions.
Wait, are tigers in Africa?
No,
there's no tigers in Africa. Not one.
No.
All in Asia.
Yes.
I'm looking this up. But anyways, I say the tiger sneak up and do it. I'd love to see it.
While Joe looks up whether I'm right or wrong, I actually don't know if I'm right or wrong. I just pretended to be confident. I will say...
Yeah, that's a big no.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I told you, quit being an idiot. Everybody knows that, Joe. You know what's fascinating is right now there's 2 teams in Major League Baseball that are basically playing themselves out of the playoffs. Who is more terrifying as a fan? Who is more terrified as a fan base right now? The Minnesota Twins or the Atlanta Braves? You know what I mean? Like, the Braves are 2 games out of the wild card right now.
I feel like the Braves should have seen this coming, though.
I agree. So I feel like as a rational Brave fan, I'd kind of be like, look, man, Albies has been out for a while. Olsen's had a terrible year. No Strider. Obviously, it sucks that Chris Sale could win a Cy Young and we're not capitalizing on it. But, like, the Twins... And as a longtime American League Central watcher, this is what they do. This is what they've always done and always will do. Like, Paul Molitor and Rod Carew and Jack Morris ain't walking through that door. And Kirby Puckett, like, there's something about this team. Like, Lopez is a great starter, but can't get it done when it needs to. Their closer, their setup. Like, their bullpen is so good, and then they get into a high-leverage situation and blow it. I really want the Tigers to make the playoffs. I really do. I will say foul. I think the Twins will get in, and then they're going to play the Yankees and get smoked like they always do.
That tracks. That all tracks. But I definitely
want... I mean, they won't because they'll have to play, like, probably the Royals. No, they'll have to play the
maybe
Orioles.
Well, the Orioles would be one of the wild card teams.
Because the Orioles would be one, and the Orioles as the one wild card would play the 3, which would be the Twins, and the Royals would play the worst division leader, correct? Is that not how the wild card works?
The worst division leader would come out of the Central.
No,
I'm sorry, the Astros would be the 3 seed.
So the Astros would play the Royals.
Tigers. Who's on first?
What's on second? Let's get out of here.
Yeah, that's all I got for you.
I say foul. I think they'll make it. That is fair or foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. One day I'll get over it. I don't know. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner today, the fan. All right, Star Child.
What a remix. Was that Papa Roach I heard at the beginning?
I was trying to scramble for you, and I have Last Resort by Papa Roach here in case I need to just, like...
I appreciate that. A Last Resort, if you will.
If you will.
That's good.
We'll be back next week with a plethora of things to get into. I have now spent 4 weeks teasing who could win the National League MVP, not named Shohei Ohtani. Spoiler alert. It is Shota Imanaga. That's Imanaga. That's why I did it, because the SH, you know, just trying to keep you on your toes.
You got me.
Ooh, that joke did not land.
You got me.
That joke did not land. Just like that Pujols bomb off Brad Lidge in the 2005 NLCS. Nobody? Ouch.
I mean, I remember, but...
I know, they didn't even go to the World Series. But Brad Lidge died that day. Came back 4 years later.
Are you okay?
Won a World Series with Philly.
Is everything all right over there?
Yeah, man. Dude, I'm feeling great, dude. You guys like toast? It smells like toast in here. I love toast. I'm so hungry right now.
Man, I dropped that joke the other day and no one picked up on it.
Really?
Yeah. I was having one of those moments, too, where like, you're all right. Like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I smell burnt toast, though. And no one laughed. And I'm just like, come on.
And no one laughed. No one laughed. But more importantly, nobody was concerned.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, if you drop that joke and a bunch of people get really concerned, you're kind of like, oh, thanks, guys.
Are you?
I was just joking. My bad. But thanks for being on top of that. But if they don't do either, yeah, that's bad comedy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, wow, I'm glad to know what you really think of me.
I had a wonderful afternoon today because of... We're back, baby. Liverpool 3-1 over AC Milan. But guess who scored for AC Milan today?
That one guy.
Captain America.
Oh, Pulisic?
Chris Evans scored in the third minute.
Didn't. What? Wow. Multi-talented.
Yeah.
Actor. Great. And apparently
right winger for AC Milan.
International soccer player. Yeah. Didn't know he was climbing up the ranks. Speaking of not another teen movie.
Oh, nobody remembers he's in that flick.
And no, I don't think
he's
a lot of people.
He's got black hair.
He's got a banana somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a sundae. It's a banana split.
Nobody realizes that Chris Evans is in that movie.
What's the word for like, was it his calling card? Is that what it is?
Oh, I don't remember. I haven't seen that movie in so long.
No, no, no. I mean, like, what's the word for, like, that was his first big movie, his first
break? Oh, like his break?
I guess. I don't know. I thought it was maybe, like, calling card, or maybe that's, like, that's his, you know.
No, calling card is, like, what you do well repeatedly.
Like your coming out party? Like when CJ... Oh,
coming out party? Yeah,
CJ McCollum exploded in his first round of the playoffs, and everybody knew he was going to score 20 a game, yeah.
And then he disappeared.
He just kept scoring points, but didn't really defend.
Well, everybody in the NBA scores points.
Anyways.
Yeah, they do.
That was the first, I guess, big break, first break for Chris Evans.
I like coming out party.
He definitely did some things in that movie that I feel like people need to remind him of. Be like, you remember this? Do you remember this? Remember these scenes with your sister in the movie?
So he like sits down. He's like dying and they're like, what do you remember best? And he shows them the elevator scene from Winter Soldier or whichever Captain America movie that was. You know the elevator scene?
I don't know if I saw Winter Soldier.
There's one of the Captain America movies. It might be Avengers, but I think it's a Captain America movie where he's in an elevator with a bunch of dudes, like they've got him. And then he just like looks around in the elevator and goes ding and he like destroys them all. They'd be like, this is the highlight, and somebody's gonna be like, no, here's a clip from not another teen movie.
Yeah, with him with his the whipped cream nipples and his dong covered in whipped cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Such an underrated movie.
Playing football in West Canaan, Texas might be your life, but it's not mine. I don't want your life.
I need to go back and watch that movie.
Varsity?
No.
Perfect time of the year.
Not another teen movie.
Oh. I was quoting James
Van Der Beek. Say good day to Reggie Ray.
I was quoting James Van Der Beek.
Oh, no.
Who was 25 when that movie came out.
I'm still on not another teen movie.
My wife told me that James Van Der Beek has 8 kids.
8?
That is true.
Yeah, like he's he must be a religious guy.
Like super family man kind of guy.
He's like the Philip Rivers of Hollywood.
The exact opposite of the Dawson's Creek character he was known for playing.
Also was 21 playing a 14-year-old.
Yeah, I do get sick of watching old dudes and ladies playing like, oh, we're 17, but we're 29.
You know who doesn't get sick of that? Puff Daddy.
Allegedly.
Circle. I'm so confused about what happened to him.
Circle. You have to look it up, dude. He's on Epstein Watch. Have you heard about that guy?
Jeff Epstein, the New York financier?
Boy,
yes.
You are in for a wonderful night tonight.
Wow.
I'll find you a podcast for your way back to Newburgh.
Yeah, well, I'm on a plane tomorrow, so I need some material.
All right, my friend. We'll travel safe. When we come back next week, maybe the White Sox have lost 120 games. Who knows? Maybe the Mariners are in the playoffs. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris-Schultze on the ones and twos. Go do something I would do.